You found a greener pasture in a mansion on the hill with a flashy foreign car to drive and lots of time to kill. Lord, my mind keeps on remembering the days of me and you when we were down to nothing, nothing sure looked good on you. You said you needed simple things that I had planned on, and through
country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network. Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on net radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries so we will be able to build up our future for our
children. Thank you very much, South Carolina.
There was once upon a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, it's Friday. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 2nd of November. No, it's the 2nd of September. November's coming along here pretty shortly, but I don't want to speed it up any more than it already is. On account of myth, got 9 months it's taken, disappeared already, and I don't know where they went, so I'm not trying to hurry that up any more than I have to. The class in New Mexico is 100% go, so if you guys want to get in on that, be sure and let us know here before too long. We've got 3 weeks until 0 hour there, so that'll be the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September up in Moriarty, New Mexico. It's about 30 miles, 35 miles or so east of Albuquerque, right on I-40, easy to find. And the place where we're going to shoot is not difficult at all. We'll have a meeting place, and all that will go in your welcome packet when you get signed up, and we'll go from there. I told you we're starting a series of mini seminars coming up, mini preparedness seminars coming up. Next one is the 16th of September in Snowflake, Arizona, and that'll be on a Friday. Two different 4-hour classes, one on disaster communications and one on community emergency response and training. So if you're in the northeastern Arizona area and want to get in on that, let us know. You can go to our website, go to southwestshootingauthority.com, and over on the left-hand side, you can mouse over the oh, what is it? I think it says personal preparedness or something like that, and mouse over that, and then there's some options that come up, and one of them is, I think it says mini prep classes or something like that, so I haven't got it up in front of me, so I'm not sure, and it's brand new, so I don't have it all memorized yet, but it's not too hard to find, and you can go on there and just click on the PayPal thing and sign up right away quick. By the way, before I get all hot and bothered here, I make sure, oh, it looks like we do have sound. We've got enough people telling me hello there. I guess we do have sound. So we'll just continue tomorrow. It's David Cowell just joined us. Welcome, buddy. I didn't see you very often. Glad you made it. Let me see who else we got in here. We got, remember, tonight's our big night. We've got an hour of regular shooting bench, and then 2 hours of Liberty Lounge coming up. So, One Bright Angel, Charlie Brown, Concretin, David the Tinker, Elderberry, Hotshot, Iowa Cat, Katie Brad, Mini Men Pin, not a Sheep. I haven't seen you for a while. Glad you made it. Punkin' Cat, Radio Doc, Peanut Rider. All right. Well, good deal. Okay. Hey, Katie Brad, tonight's your night, brother. I told you we were going to do all oldies country. I'm not taking any requests for anything newer than about maybe 1970. We're going back, and we're staying back. Next week, we'll come up with another idea. But this week, it's all stuff that Eddie Crump is not going to like. Of course, Eddie Crump's not with us tonight, so I guess that's okay. Maybe he'll come wandering in here about that time. Well, we got a bunch of short stories we need to get rid of. And Iowa Cat, Brad is too young for that stuff, but he seems to like it pretty good. So that's all right. That means he was raised properly. All right. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but there was a Romanian hacker that was responsible for breaking Hillary's back there with all of these, exposing the existence of these this private email domain when she was Secretary of State. Well, they caught him. I don't even know why he was running. They caught him in caught him overseas somewhere. He's from Romania, but that's not where they caught him. He was sentenced to 52 months in prison by a federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. So I want to know where Hillary's sentence is. If this guy's going to jail for 4 years, then where's Hillary's sentence? For everything that she's got, everything that she's done, everything that they say he's believed to have hacked into. Now, I understand it's a little bit different in his case. He's hacked into email accounts of about 100 people since 2012 to 2014. And some of those included Secretary of State Colin Powell, some relative of George W. Bush, Sidney Blumenthal, who was a White House aide and advisor to Clinton. So several other high-profile people there. So I can understand why they may be a little ticked off at him, but not for Clinton's part. They should have. If he's going to jail, he ought to be going right along with Clinton. So. All right. Let's see. Let me just skip on to the next. We're just going to go here. We gonna do a news blast here and try to get some of these things out of the way. Okay. I'll holler at you tomorrow. There's a coach here. It said they've Republican lawmakers and gun rights groups getting ready for a fight after statements from the University of Missouri football coach Barry Odom appearing to ban lawful gun ownership by the players after that came up. So evidently, the university itself has no guns policy. It does in some areas, but anyway, his remarks were in a teleconference last Wednesday, and he said in the school's policy, you have to make sure with the rules, and you mentioned hunting and some things like that, but if there is a handgun issue, then we deal with it and not allow it in the program. And apparently that's not going over too well, so we'll see. I'm not going to read the whole story, it's real long, but we'll see how that goes over, and we'll let you know. Hey, there's GLN 305. Damn, I haven't seen them for a long time. That's good. Glad you made it. All right. Next. Now, this one will tick you off. All right. I want everybody, if you've got anything sharp in your hands, I want you to put it down. I want you to sit down. If you're driving, pull over to the curb. Everybody ready? In England, this is a brand new story, just came out today. Are you ready? Really? In England, Mohammed tops the list of the most popular baby boy names, England and Wales. Oliver and Amelia, no, not for boys, but Oliver and Amelia are still up in the favorites. But Mohammed is top of the list. Can you even believe it? And in England? Now that's two. There's two things here, and it's probably a combination of the two of them. One of them is, are there that many Muslims over there that they have that Muhammad tops the list there? Is it strictly because of Muslims? Or is it a combination of that and other people who are not Muslim who have taken a liking to the name, which is almost as bad? Because if they've taken a liking to the name, it's they're going to be easier to convert. So, I don't have anything else to say about that. Oliver is usually on the top of the list year after year until this year. There's a Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, or Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-E-D. And it is Mohammed that tops the list. Muhammad was a popular name in London. And now I know that they're being overrun with Muslims over there. They call them refugees. You know, you can call them whatever you want. Amelia remains at the list at the top of the girls' list there for 5 years in a row. So there's more to this story. Mohammed is the most popular name for boys in England and Wales, but it doesn't top the official list because there's so many different ways to spell it. So it does top the list. It's just spelled differently. It says there were 7,361 children born last year called Mohammed, Muhammad, Mohammed with an A instead of an E towards the end, and Mohammed with one M. Four different spellings, 7,361 children last year with that name. It would have made it the number one boy's name if the variations were taken into account. Yeah, well, I'd say we could take the variations into account because it's just not that much difference in them. So if you didn't take the spellings into account, Oliver would still be number one. And now that could be planned also. Radio Doc, that was a good guess. Actually, it probably wasn't a good guess. It was probably a calculated answer there. The radio, for those of you not on the chat room, Radio Doc says he won a contest on a radio show 15 years ago for guessing the world's most common first name. The world's most common first name. And I'd say that that's probably a good logical guess. Snowman made it back in here tonight. That's good. All right. Well, that's enough of that. It's making me sick. I may have to go outside and puke for a minute while we play a song or something. But I'll try to hang in there. Chicago has made the news again. And in spite of the concealed carry laws there and everything, you know, I don't know how much, I know it affects it a little bit, but I think that the majority of the people that are concealed carry, have gotten license and carry a gun routinely, probably are not walking down the street where all this stuff happens at 4 o'clock in the morning. I think that there's a lot of these murders have been avoided. Oh, by the way, let me tell you what we're talking about. 90 homicides in August alone. Bloodiest month in 20 years. One month, they had 90 murders. Can you believe that? The concealed carry folks, I know there's been some shootings avoided or maybe turned around. The shooting still happened, but not what you would have thought. But where this kind of stuff happens, and a lot of these are drive-bys and stuff like that, and a concealed carry holder wouldn't have made a difference whether it was the concealed carry holder that was shot or not. 24-year-old man was killed. A 23-year-old man was grazed by a bullet in a shooting in West Lawn neighborhood last Wednesday, capping off the most violent month in Chicago in 20 years. Police said there were 90 homicides in August, a total of 472 people shot in 384 separate attacks in one freaking month. 384 attacks, that's averaging no more than 10 a day in one town. City has not had that many murders in one month since August of 1996. Unbelievable. Wow. That's something else. You know, there's some things that we probably need to be concerned about, besides everybody in England being named Mohammed. This was a little bit disturbing, and I don't keep up with this stuff. You know, John Galt used to keep you really up on the financial stuff and all that. I'm not too hot on that, but I can tell when there's something wrong. You know, if the banks were to close, I would recognize that as not being a good thing. If ATMs quit working and there's rioting going on and price of gold goes through the roof or falls through the floor or something like that, I could recognize that as being a significant event. So I see this as being a possible significant event. Deutsche Bank denies their clients their gold that they rightfully own. Now, is this the first sign of a gold shortage or the first sign of hoarding? Which that hoarding could be either way. Maybe the bank's hanging on to it. Maybe people are trying to get it and hang on to it. Or both. Deutsche Bank is the principal bank and redemption agent behind an outfit called Extra Gold, Exetra Gold, a publicly traded exchange traded commodity, claims that every gram of gold purchased electronically is backed by the same amount of physical gold. It further swears that investors always enjoy the right for physical delivery of gold. Apparently not. At least not right now. At least one German investor recently decided to exercise his right for physical delivery of gold and was told to go jump in a lake. The account executive of Deutsche Bank informed him that they are no longer offering physical delivery for reasons of business policy. So it's a business policy. How is it a business? I bought this gold. I paid you money. You, in writing, told me that this gold is mine and I can get it anytime. And now you're telling me that I can't bring that gold home, even though it's mine, because I paid for it. I have a receipt for it. But I can't take it home. If too many customers claimed physical gold at once, the bank can terminate the contract and simply provide the counterparty with cash at the closing price of the date of termination. The customer would get a check at that closing price, but they're not going to get the actual gold. The sponsors or the exchanges or the banks, whoever's behind it, will exercise termination clauses, and you won't actually... Somebody is going to be pissed. I can pretty much guarantee that. Pretty sure that's going to happen. But it ain't going to happen to me on account of the only gold I got's in a couple of teeth. So I imagine these people come along and dig that out if they really wanted to.
Said it'd take a week to clean room 23 and put new carpet on the floor. Said we ruined his reputation, and what about the shame and disgrace? But we just never learned to love without leaving love all over the place. Served our eviction notice yesterday while we were picking up our clothes. She started screaming, somebody's gonna pay. She said it'd take a dozen carpenters to fix the broken bed and drapes, but we just never learned to love without leaving love all over the place. Loving always came to us easy, I know it always will. And we don't need nobody to roll us down the other side when we're over the hill. The mourners formed us in a line as they filed by to pay their last respects. And they couldn't help but wonder how two lovers could break each other's necks. And they wondered why the undertakers couldn't take the smiles from off their face. Then the preacher said, dearly beloved, why that sweet couple
They just never learn to love without leaving love all over the place. No, we never learn to love without leaving love all over the place.
And on the eighth day, God made the farmer. But he was not done. He looked down on the wilds of his untamed earth and said, I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days, and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name. And no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked, and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots in the kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, let's finish this up here. We've still got a few things we need to do. This one came in kind of late, so I haven't read the whole thing, but the title really got me. There's a Montana Democrat, right? Remember, that got my attention right there. There shouldn't be any Democrats in Montana. But this is a guy, his name's Bob Berggren. There we go. He's an anti-gunner. He's always voted for the other side. And now he is looking to use the law that he voted against, from what I can gather here. In that session, Bob Berggren was Speaker of the House and voted against HB 228 on both second and third readings. So what that says is it's law now, 45-3-111, open carrying weapon display exemption. Any person who is not otherwise prohibited from doing so by federal or state law may openly carry a weapon and may communicate to another person the fact that the person has a weapon. If a person reasonably believes that the person or another person is threatened with bodily harm, the person may warn or threaten the use of force, including deadly force, against the aggressor, including drawing or presenting a weapon. Now, they call that brandishing. We talked about this here a week or so ago. This section does not limit the authority of the Board of Regents or other post-secondary institutions to regulate the carrying of weapons as defined in 45.8.361 on their campuses. So now it appears that Bob is relying on this law to get him out of trouble on account of... Let me just read you exactly what he did here. Let me find, there's a separate deal on the side here. Let me see if I can find it again. Well, anyway, he pulled a gun on somebody. Where in the heck did it go? I was just looking at it. What ticks me off? He allegedly threatened a tenant with a firearm. So evidently this guy's out of Havre, Montana. And of course we have to say allegedly because until he's innocent until proven guilty, unless you're Hillary Clinton or one of the gang there. So we don't know exactly what happens, but he is using, it's just funny to me that he's using the law that he voted against, not once, not twice, but three times. But he's using it to help get him out of trouble. So I thought that was kind of funny. All right, well, let's move on here to bigger and better things. We got a lot of music to do tonight, so we got to get some of this stuff out of the way so we are not delayed. A little bit of dead air in between the two shows because I record them separately. Liberty Lounge is recorded as its own show, so it's not a three-hour podcast. You get an hour of Shooting Bench and 2 hours of Liberty Lounge. That's how it works. Let's see, we know that those FBI guys are under investigation. All right, here's a good one. My goodness, whew. Let's see, here is a man who was fatally shot while stalking his ex-girlfriend. And guess who shot him? The ex-girlfriend. I just love these stories with happy endings. It's just so cool. 27-year-olds, Brian and Julia, were leaving the Brian's residence about 10 o'clock at night when the man, Brian, was alerted through a cell phone app that there's a possible intruder in his home. How cool is that? They returned to the house to find the suspect coming around the corner and moving towards him in what the sheriff described as a threatening manner. The suspect was recognized by Brooks, who is the girl, as her ex-boyfriend. Brooks had previously moved out of state in an attempt to get away from this guy. So she's 27 years old and had a 55-year-old ex-boyfriend. Huh. But anyway, she moved out of state trying to get away from him. But apparently he was still trying to get a hold of her. And, the 55-year-old man, Robert, was armed with a gun, as was Kim, Brian. Brian Kim. Kim is not a girl. Brian Kim is the boyfriend. So I'm just going to call him Brian here. There was an exchange of gunfire between Brian and Pink, but Pink was the only one who was struck. When deputies arrived a short time later, they found him lying in the driveway outside home, pronounced dead at the scene. Well, there you have it. That's no reason. No, it wasn't the ex-girlfriend that shot him. It was the ex-girlfriend's boyfriend. Makes no difference. End result's the same. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's the end of the story. Whatever else happens after that is irrelevant. Many times we talk about safety on the shooting bench. Many times. Most any discussion that has to do with shooting at all you know, there's some kind of safety stuff that eventually comes up. This one is really a little bit funny. Actually, it's quite a bit funny. 80-year-old woman accidentally shot herself at the dollar store. Well, she's shot herself in the foot, or in the leg, actually. It was, and she didn't exactly shoot herself, per se. She dropped her gun, and it went off. She had a .22 caliber handgun. Thought it was going to be a routine shopping trip, but getting out of the car, putting her .22 caliber handgun in her purse when she accidentally dropped it and it fired. So, she, the other woman that was with her looked around wondering where the gunshot came from. Then she realized that her friend's leg was bleeding. She said, "We need to get you to the hospital. Get in the car and get in the hospital." Well, the lady that shot herself wasn't too bothered by the whole thing, and she asked the other lady if she'd stop and get some cigarettes on the way. And the other lady said no. Took her friend home and called an ambulance instead. So, I don't think there'll be any charges for this, and the friend doesn't believe that the woman's going to stop carrying because of it either. So, there you have it. Yeah, this mom and son thing, and I don't think that these two were doing the deed like the ones we talked about a week or so ago. But anyway, there was a mother and her adult son were arrested when they tried to pay a guy to carry out a hit on three people. The informant told police that while serving jail time, that this woman had approached him about killing the individuals who Gooden believed were responsible for his drug-related visit to the Gray Bar Hotel. So this guy was in jail, went ahead and gave the man his mother's contact information, said she'd set everything up for him. So the guy, you know, there's a... I've talked to two or three people here, you know, half a dozen people probably in the last month, 2 months. And I get the same words, all of them. You just can't trust anybody anymore. And, of course, luckily, there was an informant here that, you know, that took care of this. But, you know, in the case of Bill Keebler, three guys who he trusted with his life, they were, as far as he concerned, dear friends, especially one of them, Leonard Wood, was the one who was the most trusted of all of them. He was an informant. The other two were agents. We've talked about that before. And so I just have to caution everybody, you know, as you bring people into your groups and into your circle of friends, into your confidence, be very cautious. Take your time, spend some time, check them out. Of course, the best way is to avoid doing things that's going to get you thrown in jail anyway. Now, well, I won't even get into that, but Bill was trapped. He was coerced, and he would never have done something so stupid on his own. But anyway, if you live in Georgia, it's a great time to be living in Georgia, as a matter of fact. I loved Georgia when I was living down there, to tell you the truth. But for the first time ever, the Bibb County Sheriff's Office in Georgia is going to be auctioning off piles. Not a few or a bunch, but piles of guns. These are all guns that have been seized for one thing or another, but they've got a new law now that requires them to auction them off, sell them to the public. They can't destroy them. They can't use them in the department or anything else, they have to auction them off. So there's an auction here. It's going to include cars, heavy equipment, and other items. 60 guns. It doesn't sound like too big of piles. 60 guns will be auctioned off this go-round. So there's more. Some previously seized, others once used by the police department, the Remington 870, an M1 carbine, Savage 110, and .30-06, scores of handguns and other long guns. So, great time to live in Bibb County, Georgia. Hey, we got Anonymous bidding on it already. I'll get in the comments of this story and tell him that you bid a dollar and tell him to look you up. He's the guy that's anonymous on the show, so it shouldn't be hard to find it all. Okay. We have... Boy, I'm going to be sore tomorrow. I ain't going to be able to get out of bed. I was putting a roof on a barn today. And that's a little tough when I got, you know, 16-foot sheets of tin, doing it by myself. And up, down the ladder, up one end, down, up, down one side, and up the other end, trying to make sure everything's square and lined up good and everything. And crawling around on my knees up on the roof. So I'm getting too old for this crap, to tell you the truth. All right. You know, we talked, what was it? It hasn't been too long ago. 2 weeks, maybe? Where there was some place where the vice principal said we can't call them boys and girls anymore. Well, here's another one. Kind of like that. Rutgers University. In order to avoid... Now, this is the ultimate retarded right here. This is even worse than the boy and girl thing. They should change this name from Rutgers University to Retarded University. It says, to avoid microaggressions, only speak when necessary. Students in at least one Rutgers University residence hall are being encouraged to use only language that is helpful and necessary to avoid committing microaggressions. This is part of the school's Language Matters campaign, which includes handwritten definitions of the three types of microaggressions. You know, I never knew that there was any such thing as microaggression until about 8 hours ago. As well as a flyer listing potentially offensive words and phrases. Okay, erected as part of the university's Language Matters campaign, the bulletin board instructs students to ask themselves whether their choice of words is true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind before speaking out. And also includes a list of potentially offensive terms. Oh boy, I just offended a bunch of damn people right here. Potentially offensive terms such as retarded and illegal aliens. Thou shalt not say illegal aliens. And it's you get double points if you say retarded illegal aliens, I think. The board warns students that failing to follow those guidelines could lead them to commit microaggression. I wonder what the penalty is, what the sentence is for committing a microaggression. This includes micro assaults, micro insults, and micro invalidations. And all this is like micro retardedness. Also included on the bulletin board is a flyer from the Language Matters campaign. The flyer was adapted. Let's see, it lists various terms that some people might find offensive. presenting scenarios such as saying he looks like a terrorist to someone who's a United States veteran, using a phrase "that's so ghetto" around someone who grew up in poverty, and commenting that an exam just raped me is in the presence of a survivor of sexual assault.
Okay. Well,
the Language Matters website includes a presentation similar in nature to the flyer, outlining the big impact of little things and providing examples of the three types of microaggressions. Well, isn't that just dandy? Related stories, Rutgers is no such thing as free speech. Well, that would be a fun school to go to for a little while. The micro-assault may include avoiding someone. For instance, while an example of a micro-insult is telling someone they are strong for a girl, a micro-invalidation, meanwhile, could involve asking an Asian or Latino person where they are from. Are you kidding me right now? So first I have to determine if I really believe in my mind that they are Asian or Latino. And then once I determine that they're white and from the United States, I can ask them where they're from, evidently. Yeah, it's from retarded university. And take that microaggression, stick it where the sun don't shine. Anonymous 8998 says he lived in the ghetto, was in the middle of several drive-by shootings, didn't realize he needed to be offended. Sure wish they'd give him a heads up on this. Yeah. Well, simply avoiding offensive language, however, is not enough, according to Retarded University, which claims that the microaggressions can also be nonverbal and environmental, but fails to elaborate any further. So we don't want you to do this, and it could be environmental, it could be nonverbal. I won't tell you what it is, but just know that some of these microaggressions can be nonverbal and environmental. You can figure that out for yourself, evidently. Well, it's quite a bit longer here, but I think the retardedness needs to come to an end. It's about all I can stand at one time here. So let me see if there's anything else. Oh, by the way, we talked Wednesday night about the ATF, their new ruling on the nitrocellulose, the gunpowder thing. Well, not to worry right now. It's still going to be looming over us. But it has been, the NRA has talked them into postponing anything on that. So at the present time, don't go nuts and go max out your credit cards buying gunpowder right now. It has been put on hold for the time being, so we won't worry about it too much. Now, what we are going to worry about, though, is whether or not DeTinker recorded this show, because I just looked and I noticed that record was not lit up, which means I didn't do it. I see DeTinker in the chat room there, so I bet he did. DeTinker's pretty awesome about stuff like that. If he didn't, then you won't see this one on the podcast. If he did, all right, DeTinker's got it. He'll send it to me, and I will get it up on podcast Most Ricky Tick here. All right, well, we've we got 4 minutes. Let me see here if we can squeeze one more thing in. I had so many of these little things. You know, I see these things, and I said, I need to talk about that on the show. And I save all of this stuff. And then I get off on other things, and I forget about them and whatnot. And Some of these we'll save for definitely for Wednesday night. So, for those of you that may be new or haven't been around for a while, Wednesday night, the second hour Wednesday, is devoted to gun stuff. So be sure and catch that. That's kind of like the old Thursday nights used to be there for a while. All right. Well, let's ease on out of here, and I'm not even going to get up and go to the door on account of I got to get started right again here. So, you'll be having just a little bit of dead air time, just a minute or so, and we'll be right back with that. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye, says it.